Thank you, Brother David, for the remarks related to Nehemiah chapter 8. And now we can open the class for discussion, any comments or questions that anyone would like to make related to this chapter. Brother Fred?
Right here. The comment about reading the word with the sense and distinctly, it brings to mind comments that I heard recently a brother give in an exhortation. He said, but with our daily reading and looking into the word, and if we devote a half hour to that, and we do devote a half an hour to reading something good on the works, he said, in a year's time, you could read all of Eureka, Elpis Israel, Fan of Roses, Isaiah, and I found it's amazing just by giving an extra half hour a day to our time and how we can do this. Thank you.
Brother Philip?
Yes, I'd like to offer my thanks to Brother David in kind of taking us into a different section of Nehemiah, which it's been suggested that the second section of the book probably starts at chapter 7. Brother David has talked somewhat, I talked somewhat in my exhortation this morning. I think we've made references right throughout the week about our separation from the world. Bricks, mortar, stone, wood, whatever construction was taking place, and it was a massive task that was completed in a record time, 52 days as we considered this morning, whatever, and even the people of the world perceived it was a work of God. And Brother Grocott remarks that they recognized that, but it didn't change their ways, sort of thing. Incidentally, Brother Fred published a very interesting article by Brother Smallwood too on this particular book in the one of the editions of 2008 Ben magazines. Anyway, bricks and mortar doesn't keep out the world. And while there's been a huge amount of exhortation that has been brought to our attention during the course of the last couple of days from the chapters we've had, we've drawn deeply from the water of life and provided many lessons for application. This section of Nehemiah now seems more to be a specific rebuilding of the people. It's okay to build the walls, it was a necessary task, but it seems that this particular section now is has the necessity of building up the individuals themselves. And what greater than turning to God's word, to God's law. You know, as Paul said when he left the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and give you an inheritance of the saints in light. So the hard labors have been rewarded with the completion of the task. But in some respects, as Brother David has pointed out, there was a harder labor to engage in now, the reconstruction of individuals, the reconstruction of the spiritual mind and the cutting off of the flesh with its lusts and affections. And I thought that Brother David made a very useful point for us to consider. He kind of linked it into my remarks this morning, but I think it's a link into all the excitational remarks we've had so far this morning, and that is the family unit. I think it's a deeply impressive point that we read, and Brother David specifically drew our attention to, that men, women, and all that could hear with the understanding. The children were there. You know, society has absolutely collapsed. It certainly has in our country, and I'll just make comments on my own country. You know, the laws which the governments have been bringing in are just totally godless, anti-family principles. And they wonder why there's so much crime, so much delinquency in youth, so much evil penetrate in all walks of society. They wonder why. And the answer has been before them in the scriptures. Because even when Brother Matthew was exhorting from Nehemiah in chapter 4, when Nehemiah, he said, "Therefore set I in the lower places," in chapter 4:13, "behind the wall, on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows." The families were in the front line. And he later on says, "Fight for your families, for your sons and your daughters." The family unit has been key, not only to the truth, which we know it is, but it's a key principle in society. It's the very building block of society, because Yahweh created it so in Genesis chapter 2. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." There was the basis of the family unit. And the need to nurture that and to upbuild it and to speak positively about it, especially in these contexts, it has been highly edifying for us this week.
Brother Aaron?
So when we think about the scribes and why they were so revered even in Christ's time, they would literally take a scroll, say Isaiah, and copy letter for letter, word for word, the entire scroll, the entire book of Isaiah, or whatever book they were looking at, and go and make an exact copy of the entire thing. And this would take a whole bunch of time. There's a whole lot of scribes that would have to do it to make just one scroll, so that they can have an exact replica of a previous one, and they would make as many as they could, but not as much as we have today. So if you think of all of us, each of us at least has one Bible, but probably a lot of us, like me, have a whole bunch of translations. You have the internet, the Bible's on the internet, all the translations are on there. Have so much available to you, why wouldn't you read? You got everything at the tip of your fingers. You can go to a bookcase, you can go on your computer, you can look up the Bible pretty easily now. You don't have to wait for a scribe to copy it completely. You can look up whatever verse you want to look up, research, and be filled with the Word of God, and yet we're distracted by the world.
Brother Jesse?
Just kind of a quick comment going along with Brother Fred and what Brother Aaron just said, how I'm pretty bad about not ever reading anything, and I think to myself, well, I'm a slow reader, and it takes me forever, and so sometimes you think, I personally have a bad habit of kind of going through readings too quickly and not thinking about them enough, studying enough. And like Brother Fred was saying, if you just add a little bit to your time every day, you can go through all these different resources we have in a year, and some, over years, you can go through a lot and learn so much. And maybe one thing that sets us off a little bit, at least if you're like me, is that you think, well, I can only read so much in this amount of time. What's that worth? If I only read a few pages, that, it doesn't seem like that's a whole lot, but it's all about taking it in bit by bit, And another thing I try to keep in mind is that if I'm putting readings last, if I'm putting studying off, what's God going to do to me? What's He going to do to any part? You do that to anybody, put them last, and what should you expect, them to do to you, basically?
Uh, Brother Lenny.
You know, as we go into the second half of the book, I think Brother Philip alluded to it a little bit and so on, that, you know, we've got the construction done in the first six chapters, and really now the back half of the book, you know, we see the re-instructing of the people. And this was probably certainly a task that Nehemiah really wasn't that qualified for. He really couldn't compete. I mean, it seems to me that there's quite a division within the priesthood here, because he didn't have Eliashib really on his side. He was the high priest. So what does he do? He brings back one, you know, Ezra, who had the respect of the people, who could basically, lack of a better word, offset the influence of Eliashib. And we see in this chapter, in 8, where, you know, he gets up, they build some kind of pulpit, as the word is used in there, to get him to stand up. And then he has those Levites that are with him, and they're going there, and they're going around, and they're helping instruct the people. But this was probably, you know, Nehemiah's hardest thing to deal with, because he couldn't do it himself. He had to have help. And of course, you know, we've got that, you know, there's an obvious lesson to all of us. You know, we can't do it all. You know, sometimes we think we can, but we can't. We need each other's help. We need to pray for one another's help, that we may find our way. And certainly, again, here, Nehemiah, using his, I wouldn't say common sense, but using his wit and intelligence, an understanding, if you would, of the situation that he had there. I mean, how difficult could it... I mean, it had been for him to not have the support of the high priest. You know, we know as we go down further into the book, you see, I guess, Elisha aligns with Tobijah, whoever his name is. And that just had to be terribly difficult. Imagine yourself, you grab this great accomplishment, and now you're up against the internal battle, really. You got past the Sanballats and getting the construction, and now he has to deal with his brethren, you know.
Brother Glenn in the back.
It's kind of a general comment that does tie in somewhat with this chapter and also with Brother Phillips' very good exhortation this morning. You know, we, in modern society, especially in the Western world, and certainly among Christadelphians, it's easy to become discouraged if you're not a very strong reader. Those of us that are strong readers, it's hard to sympathize perhaps with some who aren't as strong of a reader. But we have a good example in this chapter of an illiterate multitude being encouraged by the words of Scripture. You know, they all came together and they listened intently to the words that were presented. And really at no other time in history has it been so easy for someone that's not a very strong reader to become strengthened by the Word of God. If you have access to the internet, you have access to every chapter of the Bible read for you with clarity. You know, for no price at all. It's free. We have hours and hours and hours of recorded talks, exhortations, studies. Not to say that being able to read well for yourself and gain the knowledge that way is... Not to undermine the value of that at all, but you know, for those of us that perhaps aren't as strong of readers, don't let that be a discouragement. Don't let that be an excuse to say, well, you know, if I could read better, I would spend more time doing it. There's tons of audio resources. Use those. We can grow from them. You know, especially if you're an audio learner, you can grow from them even more than you can from reading yourself. So just kind of, I guess, a word of encouragement for those that do have maybe a little more trouble with the reading. Now, whether it's through sight or just through learning.
We have about 5 more minutes, so we can take a few more comments if anybody has a comment to make. Brother Philip?
Happy to sit down if anybody else has got any other comments.
I don't see any other hands, so you're fine.
Okay. I was just wondering, sitting down there, I wonder how many of us are kind of fidgeting in our seats. You know, they're pretty hard, the seats, and you get a bit tired from time to time sitting in the seats, and sometimes we might look at our watch and think, you know, it's nearly time we can go swimming, and or nearly time we can do this. So it just struck me, how long were these people standing up? It tells us in verse 3, I think, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, I don't know what the Hebrew of that is. The margin says from light. So it almost seems from a break of day when it was right and it was okay for people to assemble. They were there standing until midday. And it would have been pretty hot too. They were in the street. We don't record of any seats being provided. They had to stand up and listen. And I'm thinking, sometimes, you know, we can sort of get into the mode of complaining, for want of a better word, I guess. But it just struck me that these people were listening attentively. And that's not always easy to do when we're in a meeting or at any other times, you know. It just struck me that we really need to kind of program our mind that, yeah, I mean, boy, I fidget like mad here. I cross my legs one way and then the other, and I sit a bit this way and that way. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't move, we shouldn't be, but I just wonder whether there is a lesson in this book for us to try and get us to home in on the great privilege that we have of being able to hear God's word read. You know, as probably most know, the year before last, 2011, is that year before last? Yeah, we did in Hengwood an exhibition on the King James Version, and spent some time learning just how many people had lost their lives for possessing this wonderful book that we have in front of us and for daring to read it. And I think that verse that Brother David drew attention to at the end of verse 10, the joy of Yahweh is your strength. You know, we might have thought that other things might contribute to being spiritually strong, a sound knowledge, being able to remember the looks of law, and all these things are true without the strength, but it was the joy of Yahweh was to be their strength. And I think, you know, particularly when we are young maybe, and we've got boundless energy and we can't wait to get out and do other things, maybe we ought to just try and stop and think that we need to get our strength from the joy of the scriptures and learn to appreciate what God has done for us and learn to love God's word. And I think Brother Glendon's point is valid in getting to learn to read. And yes, there are plenty of audio materials as well. We've got to get that word into our minds. We've got to saturate our minds with the scriptures. We've been given so long to do it. And Brother Grocott sort of like time and time again makes the point, you know, our life is not our own. We tend to want to give, you know, 50% of our time to God, and we love 50% as well. The percentage is 100% on God's side. We've got our probationary period, and we have to learn to make God's law a joy, the joy of our heart. That would be the strength of our lives if we delight in God's law.
Any last comment before we close the class? We've got time for one more if somebody wants to make one. Nope. All right. Guess not. All right. Now we will go ahead and bring the meeting to a close.